How are y'all doing this morning? Wow, that miserable, huh? Are y'all comfortable? The lights are good. They're not too bright, not too dim. Temperature's good. Your cushions on your seats are nice and fluffed the way they should be. Y'all comfortable? All right, good, good. That's important. It's important because it's about to get uncomfortable in here. We are in our series, Church Idols. Now, as a reminder, a church idol is when a good thing becomes a God thing. When God gives you something good and you turn it into something supreme over you. We are using this picture of a golden calf, not because I want you staring at a golden calf, but because that is a perfect depiction of what we are talking about. Because the gold that Israel used to make the golden calf was given to them by God in Egypt. They had gotten this good thing from God, and in the middle of the wilderness, they go, you know what, this God that gave us this gold is not as important as this gold. They melt it down and start worshiping it. How silly. And yet we do the same thing all the time. Don't let something good become your God. If you get nothing else about this series, that's one thing that we have to get. We have to walk away with this. Don't let something good become your God. And today we're going to take some sacred cows to McDonald's, if you get my drift. And one of them is going to be today compromising comforts. Compromising comforts. These comforts that we are constantly seeking, this comfortable life, this peaceful life, this restful life. And in so doing, we compromise our relationship with God. So before we dive in there, can we take a moment and pray? God, as we are entering into worship with you, continuing this journey into your throne room, God, would you confront us with where our comforts have compromised our relationship with you? Would you challenge us? Would you throw down these idols? They have no place in we who are your temple, your tabernacle. Lord, may we settle for nothing less than a close, intimate relationship with you, letting nothing come in the way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, to begin, we're going to do a little interaction, all right? I need you to respond. I'm going to give you a word. You are going to give me the exact opposite of this word, all right? You ready? Always. Coming. Take. Me. Down. Okay, thank you. Good. All right. No way. That's about as much as you're going to get out of a Baptist preacher, the Baptist boogie, okay? As long as nothing below the hips move. No, never going to give you up. Okay, it was, and now I got your brains working for the negative. All right, this is a much more simple one and perhaps a little more difficult. Give me the opposite of this one, comfort. A lot of words that go along with it. If we could put it in this simple word, suffering. Because the Bible doesn't talk a lot about the dangers of comfort, okay? All right, everybody's laughed. We're good. We got that out of the way. We're in a happy mood. Good, because we're going to be talking about suffering. And perhaps that was suffering for you, watching a pastor trying to dance on stage. We're going to talk about suffering because the Bible doesn't necessarily talk about the dangers of comfort. But it does talk about the benefits of suffering. And if we are worshiping the idol of comfort, compromising comfort, we lay way too much at that altar of a false god. We miss out on some big things. So go ahead and open to Romans 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5, but today we're really going to be focusing on verses 3 through 5. In verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, not only do we rejoice, and the word there, rejoice, is actually boast, brag about. We celebratedly shout it out. Not only our good relationship with God, but he says this, not only that, we rejoice, we boast about our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And in this passage, we have four major things that we sacrifice on the altar of comfort when we bow down to this idol, this false god of compromise and comforts. And I hope you understand by the end of today that it is far too much. Far too much. It's a horrible deal. Okay, you're comfortable, but you have lost way too much in the process. See, compromising comforts first endanger our endurance. Some of you are going to have to really endure today because some cotton-headed ninny muggins did not change the outline on the back of the bulletins. You're going to have to make up your own, okay? Compromising comforts endanger our endurance. That's the first thing. It endangers our endurance. It robs us of the ability to get through, to persevere, and to suffer long. Paul says it here. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. By the way, I would add to that, not that you're supposed to add to Scripture, but it's pretty clear from Scripture that suffering and struggling and difficulty is the only thing that is going to produce endurance in your life. See, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, author and physician M. Scott Peck begins his book with the opening sentence, "Life is difficult, period." Yeah, that's the lesson you learn the rest of your life, that this is difficult. I don't have to explain that to you by now. Life, if you are listening to me, the kids already left for children's church. Anybody who has left children's church, you understand life is difficult. Life has its challenges. It's ups and it's downs. It has given you plenty of proof that that is true. But we live in America. Our one of our national songs, America the Beautiful, we could easily change the title to America the Comfortable. Fast food isn't fast enough. You have immediate gratification in everything you do. You order whatever you want online. It's at your house that afternoon. It's mind-boggling. We don't even wait for things anymore. It's the land of plenty, a land of comfort. In the West Side Story musical, there's several lines in a song. "I want to live in America, okay by me in America. Everything is free in America." Well, some people are trying to make it that way. "I like the shores of America. Comfort is yours in America." And I want you to know that's a lot of truth. A lot of truth. Because I know brothers and sisters by name, people that I communicate with that right now are meeting in a concrete building that is swelteringly hot, sitting on lawn chairs, and they are rejoicing. Meanwhile, "Pastor, it was a little too warm back in this corner." Look, we want you to be comfortable. "Honestly, I want it to be really cold in here so less of you fall asleep on me." But in our country, in just as a culture, maybe not our church, but we find our comfort in our circumstances and in our well-being. And we just can't be satisfied unless everything is comfortable. We want physical health, all our family doing well, financial security, quality of life. That honestly, few in this world actually enjoy the things that we do. Which also means if our circumstances aren't just right, our comfort level changes. We have a very cushioned life. And when we're uncomfortable, we look for escape from the discomfort. Some of us turn to drugs. Some of us turn to alcohol. Some of us turn to illicit sex. Some of us turn to shopping, eating, travel, amusement, entertainment, anything but actually addressing what is making us uncomfortable. Anything to take our mind off of our troubles. But that robs us of one of the best opportunities to exercise the strength of our endurance. Think about this for a minute. Have you ever exercised and had it feel wonderful? No. If you did it wrong. It's not supposed to be comfortable. It's going to be painful, sweaty. If you're a runner, it's going to be cold or rainy because you're out there in bad weather. If you're in the gym, you're going to have people looking at you like, what is he trying to lift? It happens to me all the time. So yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be uncomfortable, but that's what it takes to grow. That's what it takes to endure, pushing through those things. As James says in a parallel passage, he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, wait a second, we're counting this a joy? What in the world are you talking about, James? Are you mad? For you know, he says, that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, or in some translations, patience, endurance. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you might be perfect. That doesn't mean flawless. That means mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Get this, your suffering is working something in you that you could not get any other way. It is growing you. It's teaching you how to hold up in those things. When little Declan over here first learns how to walk, has he done it yet? No first steps, right? When he does, you know what he's going to do? Take two steps and fall down. His endurance hasn't built up. If he goes his whole life like that, we're going to have problems, aren't we? That's not right. He's supposed to be growing and maturing. And then at 18 years old, he might be a major track star. And then at 80 years old, he'll be using a walker again, taking two or three steps, and his endurance goes down. It's supposed to build you up and grow you and strengthen you. Finley Peter Dunn coined the phrase that is aptly spoken of Jesus Christ. He says, he came to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Yes, Jesus came to bring comfort. He came to comfort those who mourned and wept and those who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, but he also afflicts the comfortable. People that think we're okay, that are just seeking the cushy life. And many of us think this way. Those who are comfortable have it right. The ones with a confident spirit, those who can always rejoice, the powerful, those who know they are righteous, those who don't let others tread on them, those who have a past, those who can stand and fight, those who are never need to go through a hard times or ever have to deal with mistreatment. But what does God say about this? Jesus says it pretty clearly in Matthew 5. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Pause and take a moment. Does that sound like a comfortable life? We're talking about poor in spirit, those who recognize just how dependent we are on God for our spiritual sustenance. Blessed are those who mourn. You only have mourn if you have something to grieve. That's not a comfortable life. You're only meek. Meekness is power under control. It's not weakness. It's power under control. And you only do that when there is something that you could be lashing out against. Not a comfortable life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That means we recognize we don't have a righteousness all our own. We are uncomfortable even with our own flaws. Blessed are the merciful. You're only merciful if there's something that you need to show mercy to. Somebody who you could rightly judge. Blessed are the pure in heart. You're only pure in heart if there's other things that are trying to get in. Other things that are trying to pull it elsewhere. And you can only be a peacemaker if there's an alternative. You're only a peacemaker in conflict. Not blessed are the peace livers, but the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted when people speak all manner of evil against you. All these things. This is not a comfortable life. And Jesus says, this is the life that is blessed. That word means the life that is as it should be right now. I have bad news for you. This life is not meant for your comfort. It's not. Jesus here is pointing us, though, to a finish line. He says they will be comforted. They will be satisfied. They will be blessed and rewarded for this. He's saying there is an end in sight. There is a goal that you are pressing towards. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let up. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Because this is teaching you endurance. This is growing you. Keep growing. Keep going. And there's a reward at the end that is worth it. See, when we live life to be comfortable, we miss this opportunity. We miss this opportunity to grow. And we sacrifice eternal rewards for temporary comfort. Because look, you could have the most comfortable setting in your life. You could wake up, you had a good night's rest, the birds are chirping out the window, there's a beautiful sunrise, and then you pick up your phone and boom, that's all done, right? And then you try to get out of bed. Snap, crackle, and pop let you know it's not going to be a good day. See, when we live life to be comfortable, we miss this opportunity to grow. It's not all that Paul says in our passage today, though. Compromising comforts endanger our endurance, but compromising comforts also curb our character. Compromising comforts curb our character. Everything you do in life is building your character. Everything. It's inevitable. You are building your personality, who you are, your demeanor, your mindset. You're either building a strong character or a weak one. If you want to make someone weak, here's what you do. Never let them experience cold. Never let them be hungry. Never let them have to work hard for something. Never let them have a sleepless night. Never expose them to disease. Never challenge their mind. And you know what? They won't develop into a strong person, period. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It takes discomfort to build anything in this life, and your character is no different. Your character is no different. Back to our text this morning. Paul says, not only this, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance actually turns around and has a product of its own. Character. He says character comes from endurance. See, the truth is that in order for God to work through us, he has to first work in us. In order for God to work through you, he has a work to do in you to prepare you for that work. One of the hardest things for me to come to grips with throughout life is that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He changes you and adapts you for the work he has for you to do. And part of that is changing your character, and that's uncomfortable. It's a paradigm shift. It's going to transform your heart and mind. It's brain and heart surgery. And by the way, you're not going to hunger and thirst for righteousness if you are comfortable in your own sinfulness. It's just not going to happen. It's through struggles that our character is refined, our imperfections rise to the surface, that we have the opportunity to come face to face with our flaws. Look, I hate looking in the mirror in the morning and saying, man, yep, there's another wrinkle, another gray hair, you're getting old, you got another mole. And know what? God does the same thing through our emotional moments where we are character developing. We have our flaws exposed to us so that we know, here's where we need to grow. It's a gift from God. Can you imagine if he just let you live your whole life thinking that you are hunky-dory, that you are fine? And said, no, I just love you as you are. Go ahead, that's fine. That is the opposite of loving. No. You have something that's killing you. Let me help you with that. Let's work on that. Let me renew your mind. Let me give you a fresh spirit. A renewed spirit. See, if we were never conflicted about doing the right thing, we could never exercise that character to the point that it grows and is strengthened. Because here's the truth. The less comfortable you are with sin in your life, the more conformed to the image of Christ you will become. The less comfortable you are with sin, the more conformed you are to the Savior. We are not meant to be comfortable. God cares far more for our holiness than he does for our happiness. Far more for our holiness than our happiness. That's the secret that Paul discovered that allowed him to experience contentment without comfort. Think about this for a moment. Contentment without comfort. Paul says this in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So you need to take that verse off your coffee cup for a moment and actually put it in context. Because he's not talking about, I can get this promotion because God gives me strength. That might be part of what he does in your life. He says, I can face hard things. I can be uncomfortable. I can be shipwrecked, bitten by a snake. I can be imprisoned. I can be down in the most rat-infested den you have ever seen and still be singing hymns to the glory of God because Christ gives me strength. That's what Paul is saying here. I mean, you want to talk about discomfort. We can't hold a candle to what he has been through. And he was just a follower of Jesus. Let's think about a moment for what Jesus went through. Eternity in heaven and paradise in eternity past. Face to face with God, no problems, no disease, nothing wrong in his presence. Born in a barn on a cold night in an uncomfortable place, into a family where he's going to have stigma over him for the rest of his life, doing hard work, rejected by people, constantly being followed for what he could give them, and never actually having real followers for how he could help them live. Died on a cross by people that mocked him after being whipped, we could go on. And the worst suffering at all, Father and Son, that had never been separated since eternity past. Finally, the father has to turn his back on his son because of sin. And he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Oh no, Jesus did not come to be comfortable. He also warned us, don't think that I have come to bring peace but a sword. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable. There is no character development if we are going to be going after comfort. Because there's this growing sentiment in Christianity that is extremely toxic. Let me put it to you the common way. Do whatever makes you happy. Or if you're like Disney, follow your heart. Where's that ever found? Do what makes you happy. What verse? That God wants you to be happy. Anybody? I can only find one reference that talks about God wanting us to be happy. Benjamin Franklin, beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Look, if you need beer to be happy, you aren't happy. And that is not proof that God wants us to be happy. It's proof that anybody can take a good thing and turn it into a God thing. It's proof that we make happiness, our comfort, the main thing. We are not called to do what makes us happy. We are called to do what glorifies God. Christianity isn't always sunshine and happiness. Look, I am as a pastor, have to be honest with you. You will never know deeper joys than your time with Christ. If you do not know him, you are missing the deepest joys possible. In fact, you have such a shallow joy. But you will also know no greater pain, because that's what it takes to be truly alive. You're going to go through the highest mountains and the lowest valleys. But do what glorifies God, not what makes you happy. That's such a shallow life. See, Jesus encounters two disciples on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, and he tells them about himself from all of the Old Testament. And in their own testimony, they said their heart within them was burning. Look, if you got spiritual heartburn, don't be looking for Tums. Don't let it let up. Get discomfort. Allow that discomfort to drive you. Pay attention to that longing. Ask God what he wants you to do with it. Then follow his lead. Maybe he's trying to get you to unlearn some lessons from earlier in life. Maybe he's trying to stretch you in a new area to increase your effectiveness. Maybe he's trying to equip you for a new task that he has for you to do. Maybe he's asking you to raise your sights beyond yourself to see others who are in need. Maybe he's pushing you to become someone who is more capable of responsibilities. Maybe he's inviting you to be an effective agent in spiritual warfare for his kingdom. It takes discomfort. Look, when we prioritize comfort over God working in our lives, we short-circuit this character-building process. God, just make me comfortable. Don't change me. Just make me comfortable. Compromising comforts endangers our endurance. It curbs our character, and that, in turn, hinders our hope. Compromising comforts hinder our hope. If we look back at our text this morning, he says this, and endurance produces character, and character, the result of that is hope. What in the world is this about, Paul? Let me ask you this. Think about a time in your life when you felt the worst. You're the most miserable. Maybe you were depressed. Maybe you were anxious. Maybe you were lonely. If you're like most people, you probably wanted to stay in bed, veg out in front of the TV. From the outside, you might have looked comfortable. People might have looked in at your life and go, wow, they've got it all together. When inside, you are breaking apart and miserable because you weren't really living. You might have had all the comforts in the world, but you weren't really living. Now think about a time when you felt most fully alive. It might have been when you created something beautiful. You accomplished a major goal after a lot of struggle to get there. You made a life-altering connection with someone. Maybe you hiked to the top of a mountain and felt like you could see the whole world. The joy you experienced came as a result of taking a risk, putting yourself beyond what you could normally do, maybe giving yourself to others extravagantly. It took discomfort to get there. Anything worth accomplishing in this life is worth being uncomfortable to achieve. It took something out of you, and the fulfillment you received in return was all the more valuable because of how uncomfortable you had been along the way. That's the value of it all. Look, this gives us hope because it tells us something. God's not done with you. He is still working on you. Wherever you have tension in your life, you can slap a label on that. Work in progress. God is saying, I'm not done. I'm still working on you. You're not comfortable because I, the artisan, am still chiseling away at the marble of your life, conforming you to the image of Christ. God's still working on you. That is our hope. Paul isn't talking about, gee whiz, I hope so, hope. It is the certain hope that one day he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. He isn't done with me. Praise God. None of us have arrived. As we see tension in your lives, that's God whispering, my child, I'm still at work. I'm still at work. In fact, it's our discomfort that Jesus said should bring us hope. In John 16:33, he says, I have said these things to you that in me, don't miss that, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Read that as major discomfort. But take heart. Don't lose hope. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. That's our hope. So if you're experiencing divine discontent instead of compromising comfort, good. I want you to leave with divine discontent. If you can look around at the world outside you or the world inside you and be comfortable, man, I let you walk away with those rose-colored lenses on your eyes. I'd much rather not. We are not meant to be comfortable in this world, but we are going to be comforted in the next. That is our hope. God's not done. God's plan for you, don't miss this, in this life, God's plan for you leads you outside your comfort zone. If you are constantly within your comfort zone, hate to break it to you, friend, you aren't following his path. He says you're going to have tribulation in him. But you're going to have peace and you're going to have hope. because he is still working. So here's some three essential beliefs to bring hope, okay? Maybe you're there. You're like, I am uncomfortable. I don't feel hopeful, all right? Been there, done that. Then I got out of bed this morning. Your pastor still struggles, okay? We pastors are human. So three truths, all right, that have helped me and I hope help you. Number one, God is still sovereign. He is still in control of all things. That's what sovereign means, in control of all things. The winds obey him. He speaks and billowing waves cease. Fish bring him a coin or jump into nets. The dead hear his voice and come to life. Blind see, lame walk, deaf hear. He is in complete control. God is before all things. He created all things. He upholds all things. He is above all things. He knows all things. He accomplishes all things, and he rules all things and is in control of all things. Nothing is impossible for him. God is absolutely sovereign. God is absolutely sovereign. And if God is for you, who or what could be against you? That's number one. Number two, God is your trustworthy provider. He is your trustworthy provider. He provided a lamb for the sacrifice for Isaac on the mount. He provided a lamb of God, of himself, for me and for you. Psalm 34:10 tells us, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. God is in control of my material resources, my income. Everything I have is a gift from him, coming down from the Heavenly Father. Peter said that God has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through our knowledge of him. He is your trustworthy provider. How many of you heard the song this week on the radio, Yes, He Did, So Yes, He Can? I got slapped in the face this week with that song because I was like, every time I got in the car, that song was on the radio. I was like, why, God? Why? Why? It's a really good reminder. Maybe it was just bad timing and they're overplaying the song because that happens. Or maybe it's just a really good reminder. Has God ever let anybody down before? No. He might not have lived up to our standards. That's because our standards were wrong. He might not have fit our expectations. That's because our expectations were pretty low. He goes above and beyond. He is your trustworthy provider. He is sovereign, trustworthy provider. And number three, he is your purposeful maker. We are what we are and who we are because he has made us for that purpose. I exist and you exist because God willed for us to exist. He chose your family, birth nation, gender, ethnicity, physical traits, talents, abilities, passions, opportunities, personality, and experiences. In other words, everything that makes you, you, God is the one who designed, has a purpose for it all, and it's just our role to fulfill that purpose. That is it. And he has a purpose for you. None of it. Even that thing that you're thinking of right now as you're curious, man, I don't have any hope, even that is for a purpose. When you put God's purposes for your life over your own comfort, he promises this. When you ask, it will be given. When you seek, you will find. And when you knock, it will be open to you. When you put your comfort over God's purpose for your life, you might have temporary comfort, but that will be all. And when that's gone, you lose everything else you could have had. God is your sovereign, trustworthy provider who designed you for a purpose. Compromising comforts endanger our endurance, curb our character, and hinder our hope. And finally, lastly, from the passage this morning, we see that compromising comforts limit our love. Compromising comforts limit our love. Comfort is naturally self-focused. How I feel, my preferences, my desires, my rights, my expectations. I, me, mine. You want an example of this? Hang out with my kids. No, they are great kids, all right? Any kid. We're going on a hike on the 1,000 steps with my son and foster daughter, and we're on the 1,000 steps, and we have gotten to step 200. Dad, my feet hurt. I'm hungry. When are we over? I'm tired. All right, Lord, you are giving me an example of how patient you are with me. because comfort is naturally self-focused. It limits our ability to love. That kind of thinking kills our capacity for compassion. It limits our love. Back to our passage this morning, after he talks about endurance, character, and hope. And hope does not put us to shame. It's not like a hope so hope. He says we are not going to be ashamed of that hope, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It is God's love that has been poured into us. See, the problem with compromising comfort thinking is that I need God plus something else to be content. I need God plus something else in order to be happy and fulfilled and satisfied. The problem with the idol of comfort, it's telling you need God plus, and that is not true at all. You know, I need God plus a steady income, God plus a full fridge, God plus a happy marriage, God plus a perfect house, God plus a flawless country, God plus a painless past, God plus a conflict-free life, God plus comfort. Look, anything you can put in there, that equation, I need God plus to be happy, there's your idol of compromising comfort. God plus anything is idolatry. And that seeps into our other relationships, by the way, because what we think we are missing from God, we start looking to other people to fill that void in our life. And the truth is, that void is infinite. Only an infinite God can satisfy it. There is nothing in this world that is going to satisfy it for much longer than a moment. It might even satisfy it for a couple years, but eventually you're going to turn around and go, well, that wasn't enough. Trust me, I've tried. I've tried everything you can think of. But until I realize that my satisfaction has to come from my Savior and my God, everything else didn't work. Look what Paul says here, though. All the love you could ever imagine has been poured into us through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say we got a little drizzle of it. He doesn't say we got a portion of it. He says it has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And by the way, you got all the Holy Spirit. So all the love of God came with it, and that is an infinite, endless love that can never be drained. It is an ocean of love that your little cup of need is not going to drain. I promise you that. So we don't need love from anyone else in order to show love to them. Because of the love that has been poured into us, poured over us, poured through us through the Holy Spirit, we are now free to show some of that love to others, to join in with them in their discomfort, to mourn with them and weep with them. Say, yes, we know this is uncomfortable, and to show love to them, the same love that's been poured into us. That's why the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace. Read that as total comfort, total contentment, true comfort, not compromising comfort, courageous comfort. See, the counter to compromising comforts is not just embracing discomfort. No, it's courageous comfort, because it means I'm going to have to go through something, but there's going to be comfort on the other side. He says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He's talking to God. He's saying, true comfort only comes from trusting in you, God. Only comes from keeping my mind so focused on you that nothing else can shake me. Because you don't move, you don't change. Our peace, our comfort, ultimately must come from God. That's courageous comfort, not compromising comfort. If we live our life chasing after comfort, we're going to be running away from growth. We're going to be running away from hope. We're going to be running away from opportunities to show love. Look, I forget his name. There was an old preacher that received a Bible when he was a lad. And on the front cover of his Bible, he wrote, no reserves. No reserves. Hold nothing back from God. And he went several years. That was his motto. No reserves. No reserves. And then he started to realize that there were some things that he was kind of holding back on. So he wrote, no retreats. No retreats. I'm not taking anything back. And he realized over time that there was something more he needed to write. He said, no regrets. If you have retreats in your life, if you have reserves in your life because you're afraid you're going to be uncomfortable, you will have regrets. I regret far more the things I didn't do than the things I did do. The things I left undone. But you will have no regrets if you hold nothing back from God. God, this is going to be uncomfortable. This is not going to be what I'm daydreaming about. But God, I'm willing to give it to you. You will have no regrets. We're going to stand and sing one closing song. I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's a line in there, no holding back. No holding back. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our happiness. It's all about our holiness. Remind yourself that we need to be tearing down this idol of compromising comforts. God, would you shake up our comfort where we are compromising our relationship to you? Would you throw down these idols? Would you once again allow us into this journey of growth and endurance? Would you remind us of the character that you are working in us? And Lord, would you draw our eyes once again to the hope that lies before us, that we can pour out the love that you have poured into us. We pray this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. As you go, may you tear down the idols of compromising comforts. And may you live a life of courageous comfort. May you go in peace.